Hello, and welcome to the 90s Kids Movie Pod. We are your hosts, Joe.
Hello.
Stephanie.
Hello.
And I'm Max. We are three millennials who took A-level media studies, so you know we are highly qualified to talk about films. This is the podcast for children of the 90s. Join us as we rewatch the films that shaped our childhood. In this episode, we are talking about Uncle Buck. It came out in 1989, directed by the late John Hughes, who was quite renowned in the 90s for making films that we all grew up with. He did such films as pretty much all of the National Lampoon's movies. He did The Breakfast Club, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, including Uncle Buck. He also did Beethoven, Dennis the Menace, Baby's Day Out, and also Home Alone 2. So this guy was quite talented. And yeah, Uncle Buck stars John Candy, who again, I think passed away fairly, you know, far too soon. But he, I think, was a bit of a legend in the 90s when it came to, comedic acting in films, definitely. Essentially, if for those people that haven't watched the film, a brief synopsis would be that there's a family who have recently moved from Indianapolis to Chicago. The family is Bob, Cindy, and they have three kids, Tia, Miles, and Maisie. Tia is somewhat moody throughout the beginning of the film. Miles is actually played by Macaulay Culkin. I think this must have been just when his career was taking off. And Maisie was played by Gabby Hoffman. The family get a phone call from Cindy's aunt in Indianapolis, informing them that Cindy's father has had a heart attack. And in hearing this, they realize that they basically have to leave on short notice. And Bob, the dad, suggests asking his brother, Buck, to watch the children. What you learn quite early on is that Buck doesn't really have his stuff together. He's somewhat irresponsible, doesn't have any kids, gambles quite a lot, and it makes for quite an interesting relationship with the children. That's the synopsis, that's the premise, unless you guys think I'm missing something. But so yeah, before we get into this episode, I'd love to hear what your opinion on it is. So Joe, as someone who's never watched this before, what did you think?
I thought it was really good. You'll be pleased to know, Max. I really liked it.
The end.
Yeah, and done. So thanks for joining us this week. Yeah, I really liked it. John Candy, I'd only really seen him in Cool Runnings. It's the same kind of, you know, same kind of character-ish. He's just that kind of lovable, kind of maybe down on his luck or a bit misled, but he's always got like a heart full of gold and he's got like a strong moral compass and he's just, you know. What I didn't realise about this film is that it actually maybe isn't a kid's film due to like the language and stuff, like straight off the beat. I had no idea. I thought it was like a kid's, like young kid's film. It isn't.
Yeah, I think that's my opinion too. I think I did watch it quite young. I wouldn't say necessarily it falls into the adult category, but I think a lot of the jokes are understood mostly by adults. And I remember watching this, like rewatching this maybe as a teenager. And a lot of the things that I missed as a child were actually quite funny again. So, yeah, no, I'm totally with you on that. What was your opinion of the film, Steph?
So I think I have seen this film before. I've definitely seen parts of the film before. I can't remember if I'd seen it all the way through. But yeah, like Joe, I really liked it. It was a really nice, heartwarming film. Like, I can see why it's so dear to your heart. I think when you first start watching it, I don't know, I was like, oh, I'm going to be really annoyed at John Candy's character. Like, he's going to be annoying, but he's actually super endearing. And I think he's actually a really good guy. And I think that's what makes the film work. Like, I don't know if this film would work with someone else in that role, but he just brings a lot of heart and a lot of warmth to it. Yeah, I thought it was a really good film, very classically kind of late 80s, early 90s feel to it. And yeah, I'm not sure if it is really a kids' film, but yeah, I can see why it was dear to your heart, Matt.
Yeah, it's a very 90s film, and we'll discuss this later, but I mean, the fashion in the film was absolutely fantastic, wasn't it?
It was great.
But I think, yeah, I mean, it's starring John Candy, and John Candy, when he's in a movie, he's John Candy. And I think that's, you know, a large reason as to why people watch films. But like you said, he's quite endearing. Even when he messes up or he's annoying, he's just this big, lovable character. So yeah, I completely agree. What did you think of the other key characters? So I actually found, rewatching this again for the first time in a while, that the relationship between the two youngest kids, Miles and Maisie, I found their relationship actually quite funny, because they're a lot smarter than they look, aren't they?
Oh yeah, Macaulay Culkin's just basically a child genius who holds nothing back. He's fantastic.
Yeah, again, I thought I was going to be a little bit annoyed by the kids, because sometimes I've known films that the kids can be a bit precocious, but they're both super cute, and I think Maisie's adorable. I was watching it thinking, oh God, I really hope this wasn't the relationship that my brother and sister would think that I had with them as the eldest child.
Because
I don't know what the age gap is between Tia and Maisie and Miles, but there's quite a big age gap between me and my brother and sister. So yeah, I feel like, I don't think I was ever as harsh as Tia is to them, but I feel like there's maybe a little bit of that. God, yeah, I'm so annoyed by the fact that I have to look after my two younger siblings.
Yeah.
No, I could relate to her a little bit, but she is a bitch in this film.
She is, yeah. Quite early on, like her character is established as kind of key to the storyline, because you almost feel like she can't be that horrible, and maybe there's a character who can make her a little less horrible. And when Uncle Buck, played by John Candy, is introduced, you do see their relationship, you know, grating quite early on, don't you? But it's clear, you know, as you know, even in the 90s, it's clear that, you know, that was a relationship that was really going to be a feature. But yeah, I found the kids really hilarious. The parents didn't feature in it that much. They were just more to remind you that, oh, they're away, and that, you know, this is the story. But yeah. I also think that one of the funniest characters in it, after rewatching it, is Tia's boyfriend, Bug.
Yeah.
I don't know what you thought about Bug, Steph, but I think whenever he's introduced, I think that's where really the comedic element of not only John Candy, but, you know, Uncle Buck's character really comes in, doesn't it?
Yeah, the way that he talks to him, and a lot of the stuff just goes over Bug's head, because he's this dumb teenage boy that basically just wants to get into his pants, and John Candy sees straight through him, and he's just...
Yeah.
Yeah, ripping into shreds, and Bug doesn't even realise it. I think that's great.
I know.
Mm.
Yeah, what did you think of Bug as a character, Joe, compared to, like, every other character in it?
He's interesting, because he's obviously a complete loser. and he is... Like, if this was a different film, he would be... You'd hate him. You'd want him to die, because what he's actually doing is... you know, is very, very serious, but it's met with kind of like, oh, you know, I'm just going to scare him a little bit into not raping someone. Like, it's a bit, you know, but it's like this film has a kind of nostalgic early 90s kind of Christmas feel. And I know it's not a Christmas film, but it kind of feels like it is, but just not set at Christmas.
There is some snow, I noticed, though, in it. So I think it is a winter film. I think maybe that's where you're getting the vibe from. It's definitely set in the winter, and I feel like it's the sort of film that's on at Christmas time. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I had this. So it's interesting that you both brought this up. So I had a conversation with my sister about this, and she said, "Yeah, it's a Christmas movie." And I said, "Well, it's technically not." And she said, "Yeah, it is. I'm pretty sure like Christmas is featured in it." And then she rewatched it and realized that it wasn't. But she said that because we watched it a lot when we were younger, I think she said that it's a combination of the snow, Macaulay Culkin, and those big white American houses that she associates it almost with Home Alone. But yeah, but also it's just like one of those like almost Sunday movies that you watch, and it's just really easygoing. And yeah, I agree. I see it very much as a Christmas movie, because it is something that we watch when me and the family get together, so I tend to agree. I think one of my favourite scenes in the actual film, I have to say, is I think the relationship between Uncle Buck and Bug. Anytime they're close together, I always found that when I was a child that I was just absolutely pissing myself laughing. And I think the, you know, one of the key scenes where he goes to the house to confront Bug. Well, he goes to confront Tia, doesn't he? To because she's left the house to go to a house party. But when he goes to confront Bug, there's almost like a horror movie element, isn't there? When Bug's looking at the door, he can hear that someone's trying to get in. There's this shocked look on his face where, you know, he's basically cheating on Tia with another girl, and he opens the door using this screwdriver that's really, really creepy and bursts in looking like a deranged, grinning psychopath. I think there's just small moments like that in John Hughes movies, where it is really wholesome, but he almost switches the genre for a second, and then it makes it like a almost like a horror film. But I think of the scenes in the film, I have a few favourites, but for some reason that always makes me laugh. Yeah, I don't know about you guys, what you thought were some of your like most like fun scenes.
I think that scene is definitely my favourite. Like the fact that Uncle Buck walks into a teenage house party and you don't see it, but he's clearly got an electric like screwdriver, whatever it is that he uses to like break down the door. The fact that he's had the forethought to bring that with him, I think is hilarious. But yeah, it has got this very dark element because you see Uncle Buck walking through the party and he's like, "Hey kids," and all the teenagers are looking at him like, "Who is this weirdo?" But that's then intercut with scenes of Bug, and you don't know it's not Tia at the time. You think Bug's basically trying to pressure Tia into having sex, and that's really dark. Like, the girl's basically going, "No, I don't want to. And then you cut back to, like, teenagers drunk at a party, and Uncle Buck's like, "Yeah, I'm down with the kids." And it's a bit jarring. It's a bit like, oh, this is, like, not... I don't know, it's a bit uncomfortable, but because you...
Really uncomfortable.
I'd definitely seen that scene before, so I knew he was going to break in. So you're watching it and you're like, okay, it's fine. I know nothing awful is going to happen. And yeah, when he sort of like just bashes the door in and he's like stood there with the screwdriver and the look on Bug's face and the girl's just like, what's going on? But yeah, he's basically rescued that girl from being pressured into... having sex, which is so dark, but in the context of the film, it's funny.
Yeah, I agree.
And then he kidnaps him.
Yeah, so it goes dark again.
Yeah. And if you think about it, there's a bit of a gap in between that, because, like, you know, he kidnaps him, and then he goes looking for Tia, and then they're having that kind of almost heart-to-heart, and then she says, you know, "What did you do with Bug?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, he's in my trunk."
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of liked it. Did you have any favourite scenes, Joe?
I love it when they're at the bowling alley. Yeah. And he's like, he's there with the little kids and he's bowling, and she gets it, the bowling ball, right close to the pin. He doesn't hit anything.
Yeah, and he's really sweet. He says something like, "Well, if there was a prize for getting the bowling ball as close to the pin as possible, you'd win it." Or he says something like that. And I just thought that's really sweet. Like, okay, he's a middle-aged man that hasn't got kids, but he seems to know how to talk to kids. And I do just feel like he's portrayed at the beginning of the film by what you hear from the mum. Is it Cindy? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's portrayed by her to be on, like, "No, we can't ask him, he's an absolute screw-up, he hasn't got his life together." And you see him having a conversation with his girlfriend, basically trying to get out of going to work. And yet, I felt like every time he really, like, showed up for the kids, like, when he needed to, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, and
with
I...
the birthday as well, you know, when he did the massive pancakes.
Yeah, it was so cute. Yeah.
See the toast. Go and get it through the door.
Yeah, basically it's Miles' birthday and he and Uncle Buck makes this ginormous pancake and Macaulay Culkin's face is just, "Oh my God, this is amazing."
Oh.
And so I think that's what's really endearing, is every time you kind of expect him to be selfish or to not be thinking about the kids, he is thinking about the kids and he's not being selfish. And that's why this film has so much heart.
Yeah, 100%. I think, I was, when I was talking with my sister about this, she, you know, she, for her, it resembles everything about the 90s, not just the fashion, but also like the music as well. Really, really 90s. I absolutely loved it. Like really early 90s hip hop, late 80s hip hop. But yeah, speaking of 90s and how this film really felt like 90s, can we discuss the fashion? Because I really do not remember a time when like big brown overcoats and those rounded sunglasses with the berets were a thing. But was it around the time when like in England, everyone was dressing in the style of like the New Romantics or something like that? I don't know what your thoughts were on it.
Because so this film came out in 89, I think.
Yeah.
And so there was probably a very different thing happening in the UK because there was like punks was probably still a thing. The New Romantic thing was a thing. They didn't really have that to such a degree in America. So I have no idea what this fashion is meant. Like you say, the berets and the circle, it's like kind of Parisian, but it's not. It's very odd. You've got like the long grey kind of tweeded overcoats and stuff that have kind of made their way back now. But you know, when all the cool kids are like hanging outside school, I was like, these are the cool kids? What the fuck's going on?
Yeah, I think the overcoats with the sunglasses and the beret sort of thing feels quite like Breakfast Club to me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of Breakfast Club vibes. Like, Tia's whole character is basically like she could have been in the Breakfast Club. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, really 100%. Moody.
I found that she really reminded me of like Winona Ryder, like that kind of era. Winona Ryder, like I don't know when Beetlejuice came out, but it's that very like apathetic teenager. Like, she's not even apathetic. She's just really pissed off. She's so angry in this film for most of the film.
Angsty teen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it kind of was giving. She was giving me sort of Winona Ryder vibes.
Yeah. Did either of you guys have like a weird or crazy uncle growing up? Because I think I grew up with quite a lot of uncles and aunties, so I kind of related to the film to that extent, because I realized that like all of my uncles and aunties, they have really distinctive personalities, and we refer to them as like, you know, like Uncle Phil. Oh, you know, we know what like Uncle Phil's like, and Uncle Glenn was always the Joker and stuff like that. But did you guys have something like that? Because I think that's part of the reason why I like the film. You know, the film's not called anything complex or anything. It's just called Uncle Buck because it explains exactly what it needs to, which is that Uncle Buck is a character in the movie, outside of the movie. It's the name of the, you see what I mean? So, I don't know what your guys' thoughts were on that.
I knew people like Uncle Buck, but I didn't have an Uncle Buck, really. Not
I think you're turning
I
into...
I wish I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably more likely to be Uncle Buck.
Yeah, if any of us are going to be that character, Joe, that's probably going to be... in the best possible way.
No,
my uncle's quite serious. I don't have any fun uncles like that. But that's cute that you did. Tell us more stories.
I have lots and lots of stories, actually. All my uncles are just really like they're just really different people. It's almost as if like a committee was formed to make my uncles and aunties. And honestly, they're just all really, they just have such distinct personalities. And they're really different in a lot of ways. But they've come together. But I think that was part of the reason we watched this film. And funnily enough, we were given this film when we were younger on videotape by one of my uncles. And I think it was, I remember finding that funny as a child, because I was almost like, oh yeah, he gave it to us because he's an uncle and it's Uncle Buck. And
oh, cute.
As an adult, as an adult now, I imagine that he probably thought, oh gosh, it's Max's birthday coming up. What should I get him? Uncle Buck. I'll get him Uncle Buck. Yeah, because it's my uncle and stuff like that.
Do you remember how old you were when you first watched this film, Max?
I remember being in year four. So
eight
or nine.
Yeah.
Again, I agree with Joe. I wouldn't say this is an 8 or 9 year old's film, but I think there's a bit of slapstick humour maybe in it that you know, I'm just trying to think of like what I found funny as a child. When I rewatched this film, I was thinking to myself, why did me, Lauren and Luke like this film? But I think it's because John Candy's in it and he's like a big cuddly bear. He's, you know, and there's a bit of slapstick humor, but there are some really serious tones in this, isn't there? So, but yeah, I remember being in year four and I remember watching it relentlessly with my sister. And it's because, you know, when we had videotapes in the house, we only had like 16 like videotapes.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like some of those were like recordings of TV shows, like when my dad missed EastEnders and he wanted to record it or something. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Half the film's missing.
Yeah. It was one of those videotapes. I agree that it does feel a bit like a Christmas film. But at the same time, I think that a lot of John Hughes movies, they have this like really nostalgic feel about them. Like a lot of people associate The Breakfast Club with nostalgia and Beethoven with nostalgia. And even Dennis the Menace, which I have not seen in years. I don't know if you guys saw that in the 90s.
Where he's blonde, isn't he? 'Cause in the American version, Dennis the Menace is blonde. I vividly remember getting that from Blockbuster. Like I didn't own it, but I remember renting it. He's super annoying.
He was. Yeah, he was.
His idea of being a menace was just like a really low-key, drony, not even that bad, just, well, you just fuck off. You know what I mean? Stop standing on my plants, just fuck off. Yeah. That's about as bad as it gets.
I wonder if the reason you found this film so endearing is because you're a three with an old sister, and obviously you're the middle child, aren't you?
I am indeed.
Yeah.
Bit of pop psychology here.
No, but do you know what's weird is we're all one of three.
Yeah, we are.
So yeah.
Oh, we are.
And I mean, for me, like I said before, there's Tia, Maisie and Miles, and in my family, I'm the eldest girl, there's a middle girl, and there's the youngest boy. Mm. So yeah, I guess you can relate to it from that perspective of being a three with your two siblings and
I didn't even
think
about that.
Yeah, no, true. And definitely with the older sister, like my older sister, I very much saw her as an authority figure. So I think there's definitely something in there, Steph. Thanks for rocking my world with that, actually. I didn't think about that before.
But how does that make you feel?
Yeah, this isn't a podcast. This is a therapy session.
I'm going to break down in a second. We've called you here today, Max, to talk about... No, I think... there are a lot of... there are some characters in films that you do relate to. There's none for me, but I do see elements of Lauren in Tia, in that growing up, she had to be really serious. And I think the eldest child, I don't know what you guys think, but I think the eldest kids, I found that they always get it the worst or the hardest early on. Do you know what I mean? I think that's when your parents were trying to be really strict. And then when they get to the youngest kid, they're like, well, you know, We tried.
I think that's true, yeah. I think it comes to the point where, like, the third kid, it's just like, well, you know, yeah, if he's eating anything for breakfast, that's a plus.
We did all right with the other two. The third will be fine.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
He can fend for himself. I still have to remind myself that Joe's, like, the eldest kid. But it's not because I'm saying... it's not because I'm saying you're, like, irresponsible or childish or anything like that.
But that's what everyone else says.
Maybe. But yeah, I always forget that you're the eldest. And I don't know why. But I think it's because your sister's quite like serious. Whenever I've met her, she's quite serious.
She would be the serious one out of all three of us. Yeah, she would be the one that's in charge. It would be me and my brother, who is 5 years younger than me, messing about. And she'd be like... just clean that, you know what I mean? Like, they're gonna be home any second.
I think there's probably an element of the fact that she's the only girl as well, though.
Yeah, moment. I reckon that must be it. Yeah,
yeah. No, I definitely found that we were always referred to as Steph and the kids, even though, like, even when my brother and sister were teenagers, and probably even now, it's
Steph
still
and the kids.
Steph and the kids. That's a sitcom I'd like to see from the early 90s.
I was going to say, it's my new band.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think there's always that element of the eldest being the most responsible, like, yeah, you're kind of the next authority figure. You're the one keeping everyone together, you know, keeping everyone on track.
Yeah.
So yeah, even though, like I said, Tia is proper bitch in this film, and she is so harsh to Uncle Buck, I could kind of relate to the fact that she's the elder, she's the angsty one. She's not really got anyone to talk to. You know, Maisie and Miles have each other, and they can, you know, they're there for each other. They're closer in age, and yet she's sort of there out on a limb. She's been, you know, relocated from all her friends and put in this scenario that she doesn't really want to be in. And to be honest, I think her parents seem a little bit distant, and they don't seem like the best parents.
No, they don't. Not at all. They don't really show any connection to their kids on any emotional level at any point in the film, apart from the very end, which is just because they've been away for so long.
Yeah, and like the fact that they miss Miles's birthday, and like, do they do anything? Yeah.
They send a clown. They send an alcoholic clown who gets punched.
I found that, I found the dynamic of the parents almost to be, it felt like the message was, you know, you can be as wealthy as, as middle class and as happy as their life seemed at the beginning, because, you know, there's a few scenes at the beginning where they're eating dinner in, you know, and it's very formal, and, you know, they've got gorgeous house. Whereas Buck comes from like an opposite world, doesn't he? That first scene where he's, you know, he wakes up in the middle of the night and his house is trashy. That's definitely like one of those things in movies to show the complete contrast of their lives. And I think you almost get the impression at the beginning that he's going to come in and ruin everything. And I think there's a lot of that happens in the beginning when he says, oh, you know, that, this plate must be unbreakable, and they just smashes the plate. But I think it almost shows that there's like, there is value in not being, you know, from like a wealthy background, or not being from like a middle-class background, because he susses out Bug like that instantly, completely, you know, straight away. Whereas you get the impression that Tia's dad, probably knows nothing about Bug whatsoever. And you almost ask yourself, you know, if Buck hadn't come in the picture during that stage of her life when she was being rebellious and she was going off the rails somewhat, it's probably a good thing that, you know, he did, that Uncle Buck was in her life for that reason. So, yeah, that's what I thought, definitely.
That's a good insight. So we all need an Uncle Buck, especially if you've got shit middle-class parents.
That's what I think the true message was.
The thing I didn't understand, maybe I probably missed it a little bit, as I tend to sort of zone out halfway through films. I was watching it, I was enjoying it, but I feel like maybe I've missed something. So the mum, Cindy, really has an issue with Buck. Like, at the beginning, when they're thinking of who to look after the kids, she's really adamant, no, we don't want Buck. Like, he's a screw-up, he doesn't have kids, he's, you know, this, that, and the other. And they don't really give any other reason, apart from the fact that he doesn't really have a job and he doesn't have kids, that she doesn't really like him. And then there's that scene where Buck finds the photos from their wedding, and he's been cropped out. And I'm really sad. And it was sad. But you think, why did she she clearly disliked him to the point that she cropped him out of her wedding photos, and it's, but what did he do something?
It's never really specified, is it? Like, she lists the reasons at the start, like, she obviously didn't have a job, and says that he hangs around with some like shady characters, and she lists because someone works in as a mechanic. It's like, what? What?
Yeah.
He's done nothing wrong. And yeah, she mentions gambling and stuff, yeah. But like, I know that's illegal in most states, but like...
Is it?
I don't know. Yeah, in a lot of states you can't gamble, so maybe it's because like that's an illegal activity that he's doing to pursue money or something, so maybe it's that.
But it's still a massive thing to you know, crop out that guy from a wedding photo, isn't it? I just think that...
Oh, I know.
Yeah, it almost feels like there's... Yeah, she looks down on him in some way because, like you said, I think she refers to him dating someone that sells tyres. Like, that's a bad thing. Exactly. You know what I mean? And I think it's probably, it's a bad thing compared to their lifestyle and the jobs that they have. But yeah, I don't think you missed it, Steph. It's never really discussed or mentioned. All you're really told is his lifestyle and what he does. And yeah, it does feel somewhat unjustified, but you don't know that at the beginning of the film. You almost feel like you're gonna learn it, but you're never really told, I guess, at the end.
Mm.
Yeah,
I don't know if you're just left to assume that it's like because it's a John Candy type, maybe it's something John Candy would be known for doing. I don't know, like doing too much coke or so. I really don't know,
because it's mentioned that he like gambles and stuff like that. You know, people that. Do you know, no disrespect to anyone that gambles, but I just mean that, you know, because in film terms, usually someone that has gambled, that they'll do something dramatic and
it's out. A stereotype. Yeah.
So would you guys watch this film again? Would you recommend it? What were your thoughts on it? I just wanted to know your overall thoughts on it, and you can say whether you do or don't like it. Obviously it's
I will watch this again, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, to be honest, I actually feel like I want to put it on again now. Like, I really, it's the perfect Sunday night viewing. Like, it's, I really enjoyed this film. Definitely would recommend it, definitely would watch it again. Can totally see why you love it, Max. Can totally see why it's got a special place in your heart. So thank you for picking this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, let me just double check, but I think my sister said, actually, let me just, but before I backtrack and let me just confirm this. So John Candy, his last film, and I say it wasn't. So we always felt quite sad at the end. So his last film, one of the last films that he ever did was Cool Running. So that was like third last film that he ever did. The last film that he did was like Canadian Bacon. But we always felt quite sad at the end because we watched this after he died. So, after 1994 when he died. And I think Lauren always felt sad at the end because, you know, there was that freeze frame of him like with his hand up.
Mm. Mm.
Lauren was always like, I remember Lauren always turned to me and was like, he's died, you know. And I was like, I can't handle this. I'm in year four, Lauren. I've got homework to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, it's for those reasons. There's a few, I think there's a few reasons why I love the film. But yeah, it's partly because I just remember sitting in front of sitting in front of the TV, you know, putting in the videotape and watching this with my sister. Eating lychees for some reason. That's a weird thing to remember.
Posh
but
kids.
Yeah. Are you this middle class family that got left alone with Uncle Buck?
So coming out now.
I know.
Lychees.
I don't remember. Lychees.
Who are you?
I remember the texture. I remember them being really. I don't know why. I remember watching this film, watching Land Before Time. And eating lychees. And I don't know why. We didn't have like a lychee bush or tree or something like that in our garden. But I just remember as a kid being really scared and the fact that they were like really sharp. When you open them, they were delicious. I know that's a weird detail to share. I know.
This film is bringing out a lot of you, Max.
Did you get some lychees in to rewatch it? You should have done.
I didn't. I had I had a bloody kilo of olives that I've just devoured. I need to stop eating olives.
You are so middle class.
But yeah, no, I...
I don't even know who you are anymore.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm painting myself out. I also ate, like, I don't know, like tobacco. I was chewing tobacco while watching the film. That's what I was doing.
Yeah, we're just spitting in a bucket.
Yeah. No, but I am really glad you liked the film. I didn't know whether you were going to say no. It's a bit too it's a bit too weird, or it's a bit too early 90s. But I am really glad you watched the film. So I think the real question is, which film are we going to watch next? And I'm pretty sure that it's Steph's turn.
Oh, okay. So I've been going back and forth between two different films. I'm a bit torn because one of them technically is more of a Halloween film, and one of them is a John Hughes film. So,
I think I can guess the Halloween one.
I'd be very interested to know what you think. Which film do you think it is? If you get it right, we're going to do it.
Oh no! Okay. wait a minute. Okay, so is the main character a male?
It is.
Is he still working as an actor, or was did his career die in the 90s?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think you've got the film that I'm talking about. Oh, which film?
This is the shittest game of Guess Who I've ever seen.
Should I just tell you which film?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, we're going to go for the Halloween one, even though it's not near Halloween. But hey, if you're listening to this, you could save this episode and listen when it's Halloween. But I'm going to choose Casper.
Oh, okay. Oh. Right. I thought you were going to say Adam's Family Values or something.
I do love that movie, but no. Casper, I have vivid memories of going to the cinema to see Casper the Friendly Ghost. So we're going to watch Casper.
Great.
I absolutely love that film. Like, I love that film. I've not seen it in years.
I haven't. I've not seen it in time. No.
Did you think I was going to say Beetlejuice?
I thought you were either going to say Beetlejuice or Lost Boys.
Okay. I've not seen Lost Boys, but I have seen Beetlejuice. Okay.
Yeah. But no, I absolutely
must
love
be a Tory film, Steph.
Yeah.
We've not seen it. One of Max's favourite films.
Is it a film that I can sit and watch while eating lychees?
You knock yourself out, Max.
Okay, sweet, yeah. No, I'm really excited about this. I've not seen it. I think the last time I saw it was maybe when I was a teenager, maybe 10 years ago. But yeah, I'm excited about this. And James Horner does the soundtrack. That's one thing I remember, the soundtrack for this film being really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Awesome. Well, until next time.
Yeah, until next time.
Till next time.
Thank you for listening to the 90s Kids Movie Pod. We hope you enjoyed the episode. If you like what you heard, we'd love for you to rate, review and subscribe. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at 90s Kids Movie Pod and let us know which films you grew up watching. Goodbye.